Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today, as you all know, we celebrate the mystery of the Holy Trinity. It's the central mystery of our church. And yet, this mystery, as Don Prosper Granger will point out, as far as a mystery being celebrated on its own proper day, is one that is long in coming, given its importance. But he gives the reason for this in part. He says, every homage paid to God by the church's liturgy has the Holy Trinity as its object. So there's a daily celebration of the Holy Trinity. Every time we say, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is constant throughout many of our prayers. We even start in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is how we start most of our prayers. Constantly, we are invoking God in the Blessed Trinity. Time as well as eternity belongs to the Trinity. The Trinity is the scope of all religion. Every day, every hour belongs to it. The feasts instituted in memory of the mysteries of our redemption center in it. The feasts of the Blessed Virgin and the saints are but so many means for leading us to the praise of the God who is one in essence and three in persons. The Sunday's office is in a very special way, it gives us each week a most explicit expression of adoration and worship of this mystery, which is the foundation of all others and the source of all grace. This explains to us how it is that the Church was so long in instituting a special feast in honor of the Holy Trinity. The ordinary motives for the institution of the feast did not exist in this instance. A feast is the memorial of some fact which took place at a certain time, and of which it is well to perpetuate the remembrance and the influence. How could this be applied to the mystery of the Trinity? From all eternity, before any created being existed, God lives and reigns, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If a feast in honor of that mystery were to be instituted, it could only be by fixing some day in the year whereupon the faithful would assemble for offering a more than usual solemn tribute of worship to the mystery of the unity and trinity in the one same divine nature. And he mentions here too, this right even from the beginning, the opening words of the scriptures, I don't know how many of us reflect on it, because we're probably not really thinking about the Holy Trinity as we read the scriptures from time to time. Oftentimes we're just reading it, or we have other purposes, why we're looking for light perhaps. But in the beginning of the Bible, it's in the beginning God created heaven and earth. Our little apologetics, when scripture makes reference to God, or when we say, either God without qualification, the creator, if you stop and think about who do you really mean when you say that, generally speaking, you mean the Father. If it's without qualification, you say God without, speaking of, the Word or Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit, all are God. But if you say God without qualification, and you speak of the Creator, generally speaking, it's attributed, this generally means the Father. And the earth was void and empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit... Oh, well, there you go. The Spirit of God moved over the waters. Already, the Holy Spirit. And God said, wait a minute, that sounds like the Word. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Opening text within the first three verses of the Bible, we have the Father, the Spirit, and the Word. And it's, I have to say this just because we Franciscans, we promote this. It starts with Ineffabilis Deus and the Declaration of the Immaculate Conception. And our Father Peter frequently quotes, in one and the same decree from all eternity. And God said, be light made, and light was made. And you look at John, the opening word, book, you know, for the Gospel of John, and he really harps on this point of light as Christ. And so there you have, as it were, the very beginning when God says, let there be light, not just created light, but willing the light, the true light, which has come into the world. And we find that this, you know, just because I'm touching on this at this point, where does the mystery of the Trinity first reveal to us? It begins to be unfolded to us with Our Lady's fiat. The Holy Trinity chose, our Lord chose, our Lord Jesus Christ, to begin to reveal the mystery of the Holy Trinity by Our Lady's fiat. Be it done unto me according to thy word. And then we knew that there was a Son of God. And we find out again, it's really almost, they want to say it's through Our Lady, you know, with his fiat, that the Holy Spirit, you know, would come upon Our Lady. We already have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even there. And then the fullness of that Spirit is given to us at Pentecost. And this is, with Pentecost, really you have the three persons with their already distinct, you know, presentation to us in the liturgy. So after Pentecost, there's a very unique, deliberate, in fact, even the history, which I'm not going to read all the history. If you want to read the history, you can find Don Prosper online and you can read through it's book 10, so it won't make you look through all the different, because there's several different books that he's got on the liturgy, but it's book 10, and it's the first week after Pentecost, you know. And he goes over the history of this with the development of the institution of the Holy Trinity, how little by little, church by church, starting with votive masses, and then different nations and religious orders having a feast of the Holy Trinity, and the consistency of it falling after Pentecost, because it's just a logical place to put it. You know, we've celebrated the mystery of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, who sanctifies us. And that's oftentimes we talk about sanctification. Usually, that's usually thinking of the Holy Spirit. We don't always often think of that. And yet, whenever we say this, you have to use these words carefully, because it's attributed to. When we talk about creation, does it mean that only God the Father created? No. Is only the Holy Spirit the one who sanctifies? No. You know, is our Lord the only one who is redeeming us? No. They're all involved in it. And so far as it's a divine work, all are involved. But only the second person, there is one distinction, only the second person of the Blessed Trinity takes on a human nature. So you can't say, you know, God the Father took on the human nature. Only the second person of the Blessed Trinity took on a human nature. And this is, you know, it's an important distinguish in this. Another thing that I often, because I found in my own reflections when I was studying the Blessed Trinity, which I couldn't do before going to bed. I still remember the days when we were going through that part of theology. This is not a good subject to go to bed, you know, read. It's not something you want to read just before going to bed, because it's, at least for me, it was, I would go to bed and think for another hour or so on the mystery, because it's enthralling. You know, this is a mystery which is beyond our human reason. God himself had to reveal this mystery to us. Even though, you know, we with our faith now could look in the Old Testament and we can see, understand, even when we say, holy, 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 sanctus, 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 we understand that we're addressing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thrice holy, one God. And we recognize this, and it's how it's hidden in the old scriptures in various ways and described to us. And then all of a sudden it's revealed to us in the new. But what's helped often with me, first with the eternal Father, attach that word eternal help. Attaching the word eternal help, because it takes us out of our concept of time. Because God's time and our time, when you talk about eternal time, now, this is, I'm sorry, it's metaphysics, it's philosophy, but we have to, because God's outside of our time. His existence isn't moment by moment. We are constantly experiencing moments going by us, and once they're by us, there's no backing up. That's why we're told, you know, in our lives, we concentrate on the present moment. You can, all you can do, you know, as far as changing or doing anything, is here and now. But God isn't working in the present moment. It's an eternal now. So the eternal Father, he has no other principle. Whereas the eternally begotten Son, he's always begotten of the Father. It's an eternal procession. And the love of the Father and the Son, from that love proceeds another eternal procession, the Holy Spirit. A technical word is called spiration because it involves the love of the Father and the Son. But it's a procession. And these, I think, it helps us to, you know, because there's not a, you know, we don't have a conception. We're conceptions. With God, you have to be careful when you speak about, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ. While he might be conceived, but he's not a conception. Because a conception, which we are, means we begin to exist, whereas Christ always existed as the eternal Word. But he's conceived in the womb of his mother. This is one of the things St. Maximilian Kolbe talks about when he, you know, is elaborating on how really everything in creation, you know, knowing, you know, even the mystery of the Holy Trinity, if we look around us, many times we can see things in three. That is ice, or water rather. You get ice, water, and steam, you know. Three different forms that water can have. And it can, you can go on and on with different examples. I like the one that St. Joseph Cupertino took to explain the Trinity. He took a blanket. It's one blanket, and he folded it like this. It's why sometimes, you wonder why sometimes you're taught to fold your towels or blanket, you know, blankets, you try fold them. It's because you don't realize your Catholic roots. That's in honor of the Blessed Trinity that we often do things like that. Not that you have to, but that's often one of the reasons why that piety comes, and we forget why we do these things. Oh, well, it's what Mom did, and Grandma did, and Grandma. Where did it all come from? Well, it's because they were thinking of the Blessed Trinity. They're turning their work into a prayer. And it reminds those three folds. You know, they're distinct, three different parts, as it were, but yet it's all one. It's not like you cut it up. All these different ways to remind ourselves of the oneness in the Trinity, that unity in the Trinity, and yet three persons, distinct by their relations to one another, but yet having, they are one God, having one divine intellect, one divine will. Let us be grateful. I could go on and on, but I don't want to. Let us be grateful to Our Lady, she who made her fiat, who began the revelation of the Blessed Trinity to us, revealing the Son, and later, by her presence at Pentecost, giving us the Holy Spirit, the gift to all those who obey God and keep his commandments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.